Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Live from our DW studios in Bonn, Germany, welcome to Africa Link with me, Crispin Mwakideu. Our main stories this Thursday: the African Development Bank chooses its new president today. One of the potential candidates is the first female aspirant to vie for the job.
The thing about women, as they say, is they think about the next generation. So there's a different mindset.
Ethiopia's ruling EPRDF coalition wins a large majority in parliament in an election marred by allegations of harassment.
You know, there seems to be overwhelming support for the EPRDF, but on the other hand, there is obviously also a lot of intimidation and people may not be very open to declaring who they voted for.
And want to find out where the Crossroads generation is heading to? Stay tuned for the next 25 minutes.
Top story.
Our top story takes us to Abidjan, the economic capital of Ivory Coast. Eight candidates are competing to become the next president of the African Development Bank, the World Bank of Africa, if you like. The chosen one will replace Donald Kaberuka, a former Rwandan finance minister who has led the bank for a decade. In a moment, we'll be hearing from an analyst on the bank's performance during Kaberuka's tenure. But first, here's a fact box on the main contenders presented by Jane Ayeko and Abubakar Jallo.
The first candidate is Akinwumi Adesina from Nigeria. He's the Minister of Agriculture and Rural Development for Nigeria and a supporter of the Green Revolution in Africa. What makes him fit for the bank's presidency? Adesina says that his father was a farmer and that he came out of poverty. He says for him, poverty is not about statistics, but about the people.
Candidate number two is Sufian Ahmed from Ethiopia. He is Ethiopia's long-serving Minister of Finance and Economic Development. Ahmed is known to many as a veteran who supervised the country's finance through thick and thin, making it one of the fastest-growing economies in Africa. However, Ahmed is also known for lacking in his grip of continent-wide affairs, and he doesn't speak French, one of the main working languages of the bank.
And number three, Jalol Ayed, is Tunisia's former Minister of Finance, who believes that if he becomes head of the bank, he will work to guarantee a better future for all Africans. The interesting thing about Jalol is that he's a banker, a politician, and a composer of classical music.
The fourth candidate is Koje Bedumra, Chad's Minister of Finance and Budget. He has experience working as Vice President of Corporate Services and a Secretary General of African Development Bank. He hopes to create sustainable employment for young Africans.
And then Christina Duarte, who is Cape Verde's Minister of Finance. She's the only female candidate and a strong proponent of women's rights. No wonder driving women economic empowerment comes on her list of leadership goals. To her, the current manner in which women are sidelined in Africa is disadvantaging it. If elected, she would be the first woman to lead the institution.
Candidate number six is Samora Matthew Wilson Kamara from Sierra Leone. He was once the governor of the Bank of Sierra Leone and currently the Minister of Foreign Affairs. His fans describe him as an articulate, unassuming diplomat with vast experience in economic development.
And then we have Thomas Zondo Zakala. An experienced Zimbabwean economist and development banker, is the South African Development Community nominee. He's also a former vice president of the African Development Bank, in charge of country and regional programs.
And last but not least, Birama Boubacar Sidibe from Mali. He's currently the vice president of the Islamic Development Bank. His vision is to have a modernized, effective African Development Bank, providing innovative and lasting solutions in the services of the emerging continent of Africa.
Abubakar Jallo and Jane Ayeko. Apart from choosing its next leader, the African Development Bank is also marking its 50th anniversary. Under the leadership of Donald Kaberuka, which began in 2005, the bank allocated nearly half of its funds to infrastructure development in Africa. For more on Kaberuka's performance, Isaac Mugabe has been speaking to Omar Ben Yeder, publisher and managing director of IC Publications and currently in Abidjan.
Overall, it's been a very solid performance. So Donald Kaberuka inherited a bank which was working with huge potential. He has managed to transform that potential into concrete results. Obviously, it isn't perfect, and there's still a lot of work to be done in terms of the bank needs to be quicker in terms of lending money, accepting projects. I think the way the bank is positioned today, it's seen as the bank of choice for any big African infrastructure projects. It's seen as the institution of choice when wants to find information about Africa, when someone wants to get involved with the continent or to find solutions to certain issues in the problem, be it infrastructure, be it in terms of capacity.
Where the rest succeed, Kaberuka remains unpredictable. Three candidates stand out: Nigeria's Agriculture Minister Akinwumi Adesina, Cape Verde's Christina Duarte, and Ethiopia's Finance Minister Sufiane Ahmed. Which of these three people is the best person, you think, to take over the ADB?
Yeah, I'm not sure those three stand out more than any others. The first rounds will be quite political. In terms of competences, I think they've all got their different competences, different skills. For example, you've got the Chadian minister, spent a long time at a bank, very well liked at the bank, and having inherited certain positions, or having worked in certain positions, which are quite difficult. We've got, as you mentioned, the minister of Ethiopia. I'm told he's got the support of the East Africans, but it depends who I'm talking to. Some people say yes, some people say no. But he's extremely competent, and actually Ethiopia has got one of the strongest performing economies. If you look at Christina, who I've met on a number of occasions, you know, she would be at ease running a Fortune 500 company or a FTSE 100 company. She's focused, she knows what she wants, she generally gets it. So yes, extremely able, but obviously it's different managing a small, when I say smallish economy, so a country of 500,000 people, as it is running a bigger country. You know, the thing about women, as they say, is they think about the next generation. So there's a different mindset. And you mentioned Akin Adesina. The good thing about Akin is he doesn't talk about development. He talks about wealth creation. And that's ultimately what it is that we want. So basically, when he looked at agriculture, he wanted to create an agricultural sector which was attractive to the youth, to encourage people to enter that sector and to make it a sector which was also attractive to bankers. And that's what we really need to make the continent. It's not a continent where we're looking for handouts, but really what we're looking for partners.
Omar Ben Yeder, publisher and managing director of IC Publications, speaking from Abidjan.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
Winner takes it all, losers standing small. Ethiopia's ruling EPRDF coalition has won the parliamentary election with a landslide victory. According to preliminary results, EPRDF of Prime Minister Hailemariam Desalegn has so far secured 442 parliamentary seats out of a possible 547 seats up for grabs. The Provisional Count suggests that the opposition, which won just one seat in the last parliament, has yet to claim a single seat in those declared so far. Full results are not expected until next month. Simona Faltin attended a press conference in Addis Ababa and shared the outcome with Isaac Mugabe.
So the press conference was called by the electoral board, and the main purpose was to announce some of the preliminary results. So far, 442 seats have been declared out of 547 in the national parliament, and all of them have gone to the EPRDF and their allied parties, and zero of them have gone to the opposition.
The African Union observer said the election was credible, except for a few irregularities. What are some of these irregularities that the AU observers were talking about?
Yes, I mean, they called the election credible, but they did not use the words free and fair. Some of the irregularities they mentioned were, for example, that they observed campaigning inside the polling stations. They did not mention which party was campaigning, but given that the EPRDF's party observers were much more present in polling station than the opposition, there is probably, you know, a chance that these were probably EPRDF party members. Then they also mentioned that in about one out of five polling stations, the electoral officials failed to demonstrate that the ballot box was in fact empty before the voting began. And of course, these ballot boxes that were used are not transparent. So there was no way for the party officials later on to see that, you know, were these ballot boxes in fact empty at 6 a.m. when the voting started. One important thing to mention is that the African Union only went to about 365 polling stations out of over 45,000. So their sample would have been also pretty small.
And what have ordinary Ethiopians been telling you about the elections?
Well, most of them are happy that it's over in a peaceful manner. Most of the people that I spoke to, they said they voted for the EPRDF. You know, very few people admitted to have voted for the opposition. So on the one hand, you know, there seems to be overwhelming support for the EPRDF. But on the other hand, there is obviously also a lot of intimidation and people may not be very open to declaring who they voted for.
Simona Fulton in Addis Ababa. You're listening to Africa Link from DW Studios in Bonn, Germany. The late Malawian president Bingu wa Mutharika is credited for introducing fertilizer subsidies in the agro-based economy nation. However, his brother Peter Mutharika, who now leads the country, has proposed a drastic reduction of funds allocated to that subsidy program. Instead of the usual $130 million, only $89 million will now be available. The move has ignited a heated debate not only among politicians and commentators, but also farmers, as George Mhango reports from Blantyre.
When the next growing season begins in November, there will be fewer farmers benefiting from the subsidy program. Malawi's Finance Minister Guro Gondwe says there were some valid criticisms regarding the implementation of the program to date. Some farmers say the program has been badly run from the start. Chris Mulenga is based in Pemba in the suburbs of Blantyre.
It seems the very same people that benefit from this program seem not to come out of poverty, because the aim of this program was to help people to come out of abject poverty.
Mafuto Chindamba, a farmer from Chazunda in Blantyre Rural, says more has to be done to ensure that the fertilizer reaches the people it is meant for.
If measures are put in place that maybe the fertilizer can get right to the to the real farmers like me, then I think this initiative should continue.
The government pointed out that neither the World Bank nor the International Monetary Fund have recommended the elimination of the subsidy and said it would continue, although at a reduced level. This year, the government intends to reach out to 1.5 million beneficiaries and to distribute 150 metric tons of fertilizer as well as improved seed varieties. But agricultural expert Ephraim Beja said the government should rethink the program.
For long term, we will need to have a situation where we would support the Green Belt more than the subsidies, because the Green Belt is a long-term solution to hunger than the subsidy, which I would term as an aspirin, which will just take off the pain in the immediate need.
The organization New Economic Partnership for Africa Development, NEPAD, takes a cautious approach to the issue of subsidies. Director of Programs at NEPAD, Ethrain Fortebong, says there are both advantages and disadvantages.
I think we look at NEPAD, we are looking at different approaches. So perhaps instead of just working with the private sector, these farmer organizations can organize themselves better at the country level, and then the government can use them as distributors of fertilizers to their membership. So that might bring efficiency in the system, but also it might not mean additional costs to the individual farmers.
Before the fertilizer subsidy program was introduced in Malawi 10 years ago, the annual food harvest was below the national requirement of 2.8 million metric tons. But since 2005, Malawi has reaped a surplus of at least 700,000 metric tons.
George Mhango reporting from Blantyre. And now let's raise the curtains for the radio drama Crossroads Generation, a Learning by Ear production.
Deutsche Welle, Learning by Ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hi there, and thank you for tuning in to Crossroads Generation. This is our ongoing radio drama about the challenges facing young Africans.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation. Our future stands today.
We all know about Dan, the 19-year-old who started a green business. He's already convinced Mrs. Jumbe to be his senior partner. Last time, he was trying to get more people to join him in his campaign for a cleaner environment. He spoke to the director of Kisimba Special School.
I'm planning to organize a group of young environmental activists here in Kisimba, and I was wondering whether you could help.
You know this is a special school, don't you? All the students here have some kind of disability.
Yes, I know that. But I think that's all the more reason to get them involved. Because as well as saving the environment, the students would also be helping to change perceptions in society.
Dan has already asked Tina and Anita to be part of the group, and the first meeting is about to take place. Meanwhile, Marcy and her husband Nikki have been going through a rough patch because Nikki is finding it hard to accept that he's HIV positive. For Marcy, it's sometimes really tough to support him. Last time, she told her friend Tina about it.
Sometimes I ask myself if I did the right thing marrying him.
Did you go and see the counselor Margaret again, like I told you?
I want to, but...
But what, Marcy? This is no joking matter.
Will Marcy follow her friend's advice and seek support from the counselor? Let's find out in today's episode, Only Dead Fish Go With The Flow.
Thank you for seeing me at such short notice, Madam Margaret.
No problem at all, Marcy. And please, just call me Margaret. So how's Nikki, your husband? I thought you would come together.
Well, I wanted to see you on my own, without him.
All right. And what seems to be the problem? Is he taking his antiretroviral drugs and eating well?
Yes and no.
What do you mean?
I mean, he hasn't missed a dose since he started taking the drugs, but...
But?
But the food. Sometimes he eats well, and sometimes he just picks at it.
Why is that? Doesn't he have any appetite?
I don't think it's that. It's a mood thing. He has these mood swings, and I don't know how to deal with them anymore. Sometimes he's super happy, and sometimes it's like he's just off in his own world.
Listen, Marcy, Nick is going through a difficult transition at the moment.
I know, but...
It's not uncommon for people who've recently been diagnosed as HIV positive to behave like this. He's still struggling to accept his condition. He may well be antisocial and easily annoyed.
But what do I do?
The thing is, in his mind, Nick is convinced that everyone knows about his condition, and they're all judging him. What he needs is for someone to understand him, guide him, and stand by him.
But that's what I've been trying to do.
It takes time and a lot of patience. I know it's not easy for you, Marcy, but believe me, you'll both get used to the situation eventually. You can also take time to spend with him, just the two of you. Exercise with him, go out with him, do things together, and together, you'll find a way to deal with it long term.
Thanks, Margaret. It's always a relief talking to you.
Anytime, Marcy. Anytime at all. I tell you what, I'll schedule an appointment for the two of you to come in together. How about next Wednesday at 5 o'clock? Does that work for you?
I'll have to check with him, but I'll confirm with you as soon as I know.
All right. If it doesn't work out, just let me know and we'll schedule a different time, okay?
Okay. Bye, Margaret, and thank you very much.
Bye, Marcy.
Anita.
Hi, nice to meet you. My name is...
You must be Tina.
Yes, I am. How did you know?
Dan mentioned you might be coming, and when you spoke, I recognized your voice from the university radio. You're doing a great job.
Thank you. Are we the only ones here?
Yeah, but the director of the school where I work will join us later.
Okay.
Our students might be taking part in the project, but we'd only be able to work with them at the weekends and during the school holidays. By the way, who's that lady Dan's talking to over there?
Isn't that Mrs. Jumbe?
Do you know her?
Yeah. My friend Marcy is married to her son Nikki. Crazy woman.
Wait a minute. Are you talking about Marcy Msoto?
Yes. Do you know her?
Yes, I do. Oh. She was my friend in high school. I'll kill her. How could she get married without telling me? Oh, well, maybe I shouldn't blame her. We lost touch when I went back to Laboria.
Jump in!
No, the water's cold and it's very dirty today. I think I'll fish from over here.
It's not cold. You're just a sissy.
Shut up. Hey, Kadu, look. There are fish everywhere. There's one floating right next to you.
Ha! I'll try and catch some. There! I got it! That was easy.
Yes, you're going to eat fish for supper.
Yeah, fish for supper!
Hey, you!
Kadu! It's that crazy ranger who's always chasing us away from the river.
Huh?
Come on, Kadu, run!
Hey, you kids! Get out of the river and throw that fish away! Can't you see it's contaminated?
La 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 la!
up.
You can't catch
you
up.
You can catch
hey,
up.
Hey, stop!
La, 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 la.
Too slow, too la, slow. La, you can't catch up.
Damn it! These kids. I hope they don't eat that fish.
Excuse me, guys. Just moving a bit closer. First of all, I want to say thank you for your interest in joining this group of young environmental activists.
Welcome.
Secondly, I'd like you to meet Mrs. Jumbe. I know. Mrs. Jumbe is obviously a little older than we are. But she's young at heart. And she has expressed an interest in joining us as a patron. A silent observer.
Well, I won't always be silent. I couldn't even if I tried.
Okay, let's get started. Does anyone have any ideas they want to share to set the ball rolling? Yes, Anita?
I think the best place to start would be for us to define our objective. What do we want to do? How do we want to go about it? And so on.
The whole community could live a lot better if we all avoided doing certain simple things that damage the environment. Like casually throwing away plastic bottles, or leaving rubbish in the street, or cutting down trees to make quick money. Obviously, what we need to do is raise awareness among the people of how these things affect them. We can start just by educating the people close to us. Talk about it with our friends, neighbors, colleagues, and so on.
I agree. Civic education is very important. It sounds as if radio would be a great medium for this, but my program is about women's issues.
The environment affects women too.
Exactly. And vice versa. You don't have to change the focus of your show. You can just add an environmental angle. Anita, I suggest you should be in charge of recruiting and training young activists.
Fine.
Well, I know I'm supposed to be silent, but allow me to butt in here. Maybe you already know that Dan and I are partners in what we like to call green business. We are reusing ways to create attractive items that we sell. Maybe you guys could introduce this concept to your group as well. You could use it to fund your other projects.
I was going to suggest the same thing, Mrs. Jumbe. We wouldn't just use the concept to bring in money. We'll also train the youngsters to empower themselves economically by recycling what others consider to be waste. Yes. Well, this seems like a very good starting point to me. Let's see how far we get by our next meeting. And then we'll discuss where to take it from there.
Any idea what the first projects could be? And how about Mercy? Will she be able to put the counselor's advice into practice? The twins also got some advice about the dead fish, but they didn't even hear it. If you want to know what happens next, be sure to tune in next time. And if you missed today's or any other episode, you can catch up with us on dw.de/LBE or join us on Facebook. Take care.
And now a reminder of our main stories. The African Development Bank will choose its new head to replace outgoing President Donald Kaberuka. Ethiopia's ruling EPRDF coalition has won a landslide victory in parliament, according to provisional results. We've also been hearing mixed reactions from Malawians on the reduction of fertilizer subsidies. We've come to the end of the show. In case you'd like to comment on the stories that we've been covering, you can do so by sending an email to feedback.africa@dw.de, a letter to Africa Link DW53110 Bonn, Germany, or an SMS to country code 49160957595. 10. I'm Crispin Mwakideu. Stay safe.